to the attention of the committee or anything? You don't have to, just I'm giving you an opportunity. You fine? Good. Treasury, Mr. Machi, you want to bring anything to our attention?
Yes, some few points. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and my apologies for being late. I just want to make a few comments on one on the triple P part and the other one on the costing. That on the triple P side, as you mentioned correctly earlier, for us to make a clear decision, we need to know where we're going in the next 15, 20 years in relation to this specific problem. And we have actually been requesting the department to get the project registered as a triple P. And we have been waiting for that letter for more than a month now. If we can try to get it sorted out so that we, once that is done, it's going to fast track everything, because it means we must put everyone in one pool, and then we move along the same way of doing things. Secondly is the costing, in fact, which are putting us in a corner. If you look at the way they are structured, they're not transparent, and we actually would like them to be revisited, because there are savings which are mentioned, and you don't see them anywhere in the costing that is provided. Example of the savings is the contribution from the CRG of about 30 million or so, 35, but in the costing it doesn't appear anywhere. They've got Rand Uranium contributing one way, and they are not reflected in the picture there. And then our other big worry is that if you look at the fees and the administration, it's about 43% of the current allocation. The allocation is 225, and the budget that has been presented, or the cost that has been presented, they show in 97 million going to professional fees and one to administration fees. Thank you.
Okay, as a good treasury man, Mr. Machida has raised all the problems that treasury is going to have one day with the department. Obviously, it's good that you're raising it here. I think the department, obviously, when we get the input, we don't expect a completely detailed input on the breakdown. Obviously, you will need that. So I think we should bear that in mind. But the point I think that the department must learn is that if you want to take people with you, you must be transparent, you must put your cards on the table so that people know what they're buying. I think that's the point that, I mean, if you take a summary of the technical things that Mr. Machi is raising, is that really what it is? I mean, if I just look at your input that you gave us today and we only read that input, as I said, my immediate reaction would be this input stops at creating grey water. I don't know what's beyond that. So I don't know whether I'm spending taxpayers' money well or government's going to spend it well to create these solutions or not, because I don't know really what the rest of it is. So only when you then started giving inputs on the rest of it and where you think the thing should be going from there on. As Mintec says, it's in their opinion, they have raised some things which I don't want you to respond about, but they have raised issues about, even if you look at the cost factors that you've got possibly in your plan, whether that'll actually be feasible to get a public, a private partnership to do so. So I think that that's the important issue of what Mr. Machi is raising, is that, you know, Treasury have got huge interest in all the various ways they have to go. And the point is that your interest will only be sold by your man, and your man being Mr. Machi, if he understands it fully, if he trusts what we're doing, and he knows where we're going. And I think that's what he's raising these things. I would personally, and I've raised this with this department before, I would personally want to, when we draft these documents and so on, I would want him to get Mr. Machi into those meetings. Sit down with them. Talk through the issues with them. Make sure you get their buy-in that they can say, but when we look at this proposal, this and this is missing in the proposal. It'll be difficult for us to process this. Okay? So I think that's the point that's being made there. I think you've noted what he said, so I don't want us to actually have to answer the specifics of that. Sputnik, I'm going to give you a chance at the end, because communication is always at the end. Okay, if there's something you want to add to the inputs. All right, so I think that's everything that everyone wanted to say. I'm going to give the committee now a last chance. Are there any issues we want to raise, any questions we want to ask, etc.? The committee, I mean, have you become a committee member? What issue do you want to raise, Mr. Doctor?
Chair, I apologize for being so presumptive, but I just wish to record that I did meet with Mr. Clarsons over lunch, and we have clarified some of those cost items where I expressed concern. I'm now satisfied.
But even, you see, but the point is really, I've said this to you guys before, there's the CSIR that are doing stuff. There's the Water Research Commission. There's now Mintec that we met are doing things on this. It is so much better that when you guys are processing these things in the Department of Water Affairs, that you call those guys in and say, this is what we're doing, what do you think about it? It's not a question, if they disagree, that's fine, but at least you gave them a chance to hear their view, and then they immediately become part of the process. They say, have you thought of this, have you thought of that? So, you know, guys, this project, it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's costing more and more. Therefore, if you want to get buy into this, you have to firstly convince a lot of us here. Secondly, all the role players around acid mine drainage, every one of them has got something to say. You, the department, must learn, Mr. Kiet, how to draw those people into the processes. You must do these things. Because, you know, even if Mr. Machi comes here and listens to an input and he starts saying, but this and this and this is not in the... what he's telling me is that I've not been part of the process. That's what he's telling us. So you see immediately what the problem is. Okay. What do you want to say, Mr. Kiet?
Kiet, I just quickly want to respond to that. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly, but I mean, I can just say that tomorrow, the 8th of September, a year ago, the team of experts was formulated. And from day one, Mintec was involved, the CSIR was involved, universities were involved. So they were part of the decisions, and they were also part of the document that we presented to Cabinet at the end.
Yes, I know that, man. But you see, you guys are so defensive. Since then, a lot of things have happened. They must now be drawn into the process again, because now new plans are coming up, new options are coming up. What is the long-term solution? I mean, you don't consult to a point and say, okay, I've consulted. And anyone raises something, you say, I've consulted up to that. Then, of course, I mean, all the processes that come after that, the new things that are coming, and you guys must keep consulting. The same thing I told you with local and provincial government. Keep taking them on board, taking them with you, taking them. And the point is, there's a difference between the group of experts and the Department of Water Affairs who wants to take recommendations to Cabinet and ask for 1.2 billion rand. There's a difference between them. The experts are the ones that can give you technical advice and so on. Now there's political processes. You must get the finance people on your side. You must get the Department of Mineral Resources on your side. They must be consulted along the way because they become your allies. You go to Cabinet, now suddenly the Department of Mineral Resources says, well, I've never seen this. I've got 10 other processes taking place in my department that's not part of this. Now you say, oh, okay, well, now we must start consulting. Can you see what the problem is? Take it from me. I've been in government for a long time. I understand politics. You guys must take people, and especially as you expand this project and get more and more money needed, you must learn how to draw people in so that they're part of the process, so that they become your people that fight for you. When you go to the meeting, by the time you get there, your minister has got so much support around. Everyone's saying, well done, we're going to support you. Why? Because you've done your groundwork. I know, I've sat in cabinet for at least 5 years. There's nothing worse than when you come to cabinet and some other department has been affected by something. And that department says, I want to ask a question. You say, but why are you asking a question? Aren't you part of this? They said, no, we don't have to be part of it. There's nothing worse. I can tell you there is nothing worse for that to happen. Because what it means is the political processes that must smooth the way haven't been followed. So that's all I'm saying. Forget the defensive posture. Whether they once in 5 years ago were part of your consultation process doesn't matter. Whether they were consulted until you gave your report doesn't matter. You are now giving us new reports. There's new things that are being suggested. I mean, I've told you, one of the things that has happened today, which none of us picked up last time, but now you can see what has happened. One of the things we've picked up today is that from January this year until this project is finished, if we go the route we're going now, and I'm not saying we shouldn't go that route, but if we have gone that route, all the responsibilities of the mining companies are gone. They have got not a single responsibility anymore for acid mine drainage. Now, I don't think anyone thought that that's what we're going to do, is not give them any consequences. But that is the consequence of the proposals we're making. The consequence of the proposals we're making is that except for those one or two exceptions where they're giving some money, the one-third and that, it's government that's going to pay for it, and at best we're going to recover through a PPP that money, or some of the money, at best. But the process, I'm still on this, we're going to get back to the directive just now, but in the end of the day, there is nothing that we're now saying that mines should do it. Now, that's a huge policy decision. A huge, huge policy decision. Because Fani Buta, and I complain about Fani Buta making deals with mining companies, but at least he only made a deal with dormant and dead mining companies. We are making deals here with very live ones that are making huge profits. We're telling them you've got no more responsibilities. Now, these are huge policy implications that fought this. Now, I think we have fought with you before that as far as looking after water resources, it's your responsibility. So, of course, you must push a program to get those things done. But the implications that of the programs we're having, you have to get buy-in from huge parts of government and so on if we want to go the route we're going. Because the first decisions were just, what do we do immediately and so on, and in broad terms, how do we deal with this issue? Now we're making specific decisions, specific projects, and specific funding requirements. That's a whole new consultation process that has to take place. You must take people with you. Very vital. All right. Any other members? I'll ask again, any further questions? Mr. Morgan?
Thanks, Chair. Just one short question. I mean, the Treasury raised it. The issue of the, as was called, Treasury called it the PPP letter that they've been waiting for. Where is this? And why are they waiting?
Chair, I can just say that I'll follow up. I know that it he's expecting it from the department, so I'll follow up with my top management.
Well, I mean, we have to go further than that. I mean, I would ask the question further than that because the whole long-term solution depends on a PP program. Otherwise, all the costs will be the state's. So I think it's not just a letter that's necessary anymore. I think there's an in-principle decision that has to be taken by cabinet. That is this the route we're going to go. I mean, after that, the letters and that are very technical, whether you do it or don't do it. But for me, that's really what has to be done. I mean, I'm happy to hear that the tender processes can continue in the meantime. But, I mean, for me, the first thing that has to be done is, at the moment, I don't have any personal information available to myself to say that the proposals you're putting on the table are not good enough, and particularly added with the long-term things. But at some stage, Cabinet has to make decisions about that. I mean, you know, it has to now decide that we're going to... Because, you see, the first implication of it, the mine companies are off the hook, but the second implication is the one that Mr. Morgan has raised, that for the foreseeable future, the reason why we won't give directives is because government will be doing the acid mine drainage cleanup, and therefore you don't want to give directives to government because exactly government is going to be the one that's going to pump grey water back into the rivers. So, I mean, you can't give a directive. because that's exactly what government... So, you know, what I want is that these policy decisions have to be spelled out in cabinet in such clear terms to say, you realize if we go this way, these are the consequences of it, that we can make those decisions. As I say, it may be the best decision that we have available to us. And so, you know, it may be the one. But, for example, cabinet may also say, but, you know, instead of creating where there's no decant at the moment, let us look at the option of going straight to clean water in those two. I mean, what are the cost of those options going to be if we go straight to it? Mintec suggests that there are solutions that are going to be cheaper for that, although, I mean, their technology hasn't taken the final stamp of approval. But maybe some other technologies may take us to solutions. I mean, if we're going to aim for 2014 in the Eastern Basin, which has got the better quality water, it may be very well worth our while to really do that. So, you know, I think if we don't put these issues in front of cabinet and what are all the implications of it, spell it out very clearly, then I tell you where you're going to... all these things you're telling us now, when I call you back later this year, you're going to tell us nothing has happened. Why? Because you haven't taken all the other stakeholders with. That's going to happen. Treasury is going to be the first one. I can tell you Treasury will be the first one that raises problems. So you have to take them along in your thinking. This is, you know, this is our solutions. And that is why when you give short and medium-term solutions, Mr. Claassen in his input said, obviously, when we deal with short-term solutions at the moment, then we do it with what we have in mind, what is our long-term solution. Because no use doing short-term solutions. You then come with long-term and completely have to go in another direction. I mean, you know, the waste is an implication. So it's very vital that we process those things properly through cabinet and get proper political decisions so it's easier. So that when you then talk to Treasury, you're talking on technical issues, whether there's a letter or not a letter. But long before you get to the letter, the agreement has to be, in principle, do we in cabinet agree that the solution for the clean water is a PPP? Once you get that, now you can looking at the possibilities of PPPs. And what I hear you, the way you're talking, is really you looking more at the TCTA model, where you really create a project and you let the project then recoup the money that was spent by the state or by whoever, in this case the state, not the banks. You then recoup that over a period of time. Now, that model may be a good one and maybe we'll go for that. But maybe they say, no, but that's not the model we want. We don't want to spend that money on that. Let's go straight to that. So, you know, if we don't get certainty on that, you'll come and report back here and we'll, the grounds, it'll be a sifting sands all the time. Because on our hand, we may say to you, well, on the information you give us, it doesn't look bad. But, you know, there's a whole host of others, mineral resources, treasury, and they may have a lot of other ideas of what could be solutions to these things. So it's very important as far as I'm concerned, and I'll do it in the summary just now, that you deal with those and you spell out the consequences very much to cabinet and that we take it through the IMC, through cabinet, so that we can get more clarity. I think... And when I say this, I'm not actually criticizing. I think you guys have done good work. You know, you did the immediate kind of expert stuff. Then you did what are the immediate solutions. We're now coming up, what is the short-term solutions. The problem is, if we don't put the whole package with the long-term, at least in principle, then it's difficult to know where we're going to go with this. Okay, I hope that's clear from our side. Did someone have a hand up? Was there another question? No? No other questions? All right. Now let me tell you how I see this. I think the first thing we need, Mr. Claassen, we need an amended document. The amended document must have those pages that are missing, but it must also have what are the principles, the framework for the long-term solution must be in the amended document. Okay? As you've spelled it out today. Because unless you've got that, this document is very... what's the word? I want to say holy, but it's not holy. Not holy as in one L. Holy as in gata. It's for gata. You understand? Secondly, I think it's very important that these further processes that you've now agreed to and the cost implications and the framework of the longer term. I mean, for us, it's very difficult to hold you accountable if you haven't processed this through cabinet. It's very difficult to know, because this may be the ideas of the department, but it may not be the ideas of government yet. So we're having difficulty too. So it's very important that those processes get dealt with. As part of that, I think that we would want to make a recommendation from our side that once we have put forward the proposals for the longer term solutions as have been proposed and whatever things you else want to say, is that very immediately you get a feasibility study or a due diligence or whatever it's called, so that exactly the kind of discussion we had earlier with MinTech and so on, that there's much clarity on what are the possibilities and so on, what are the cost implications, and particularly to try and get Treasury to buy into to the proposal. So it's very vital, I think, like you did now with the short term, to get a due diligence, that when we put the principles agreed to by Cabinet, that part of what has to be done then once Cabinet has agreed to that is immediately to get a feasibility and a due diligence for the longer term principles of it, which I think is very important. The issue of the directives, Mr. Kidd, I'm going to ask you to get the DG to speak to me, because I want us to know, I think you've now heard what we've said about the directives. I want to hear what the department's view is once you've engaged them. That are we really saying now that the directives is dead? From January, we've not issued them again. So what are we doing? We can issue these directives tomorrow. They're so easy to change. You just change three little things in the directive. So why are we not doing it? And the committee can correct me here, from my side, I must just tell you, I prefer that the directives get reissued immediately. Because at least there's something then that still tells the minds that, you know, you've got a responsibility here. At the moment, it's a broad environmental responsibility. They must not transgress the environmental laws, but there's no specifics to it. So this issue of the directive, I think you must come back to us very urgently, the DG, and tell us, are we going to just go this route that we're going or something else? You see, the WUC process, WUC, you see, for me, the only reason I keep raising the WUC, I'm trying to risk manage. I know how lawyers love to go to court, because this kind of case, a lawyer could make millions. And this kind of case, I will get you any lawyer that will give you advice to definitely take the department to court. I'll get you any lawyer that will do that. That will tell you to do that. You see, if you look at your directive, go and study it properly. The answer you gave earlier doesn't fully fit in with this directive. If you look at the background of the directive, as you said earlier, this WUC and that's something that came later. If you look at the directive, WUC actually existed at the time of the directive. Because in 1.4 it says the mining companies established the Western Basin Environmental Corporation at Section 21. The WBEC, in close consultation with the relevant authorities, is on behalf of the mining companies to govern the water rehabilitation process, including investigation and development of sustainable initiatives. Further, WBEC, in implementing and managing the self-sustaining process, has entered into a management agreement with Western Utilities, WUC, to develop a long-term sustainable solution. This is in your own directive, you've got that stuff here. So they've existed, and you saw them as part of the issue. Then if you look at paragraph 217 says, develop a remediation plan for implementation. Now, this is the mines must do this. Develop a remediation plan for implementation either concurrently with the discharge or after discharge. The area and extent of the required remediation shall be investigated by Uranium and blah, blah, all the others, and finalized in agreement with the regional office. And then what I read to you earlier, paragraph 5, deals with you, what are the consequences of non-compliance? It's that you can bring civil action and you can bring criminal action. So I'm not, let us not debate whether we've actually created a process for them to be in. The fact of the matter is they existed, we gave them certain functions to fulfill, they spent millions of rands to do so. Whether we have the risk of them then being able to sue us because we've not gone through a process of at least listening to them properly, because they last time said they haven't been listened to, and you may disagree with that, but that's the point of a court case. Your issue now is to manage risk. And if you sit in a meeting where they say, but we weren't properly consulted, we were never given an opportunity to present our thing, it doesn't matter to say, but I think you're wrong. Because the fact of the matter, you're now making sure that your department is going to go to court. Rather go through a process where you properly let them state their case, and then whatever rejections there are exist. Then at least you have mitigated all the possibilities of a court case. I'm saying this in public because it's my job to make sure that public money doesn't get lost in the process. So I'm not worried about the department whether they think they've consulted enough. The fact of the matter is when these people sat here and said it on TV and in public, they felt that there's never been a process like that. They may be wrong. They may be wrong. But the point is we must mitigate the possibilities of that happening. Now, rather properly go, that is the point I'm trying to make, rather properly go through a process and then, I mean, there is actually a simple answer to this. You gave the answer earlier. Whether there's a public, whether there's a private-public partnership is going to be a part of a tender process. So that's your answer. I mean, this is simple. I can give you in front of TV for absolutely nothing, no charge to you. I'm giving you legal advice. Then your answer is simple to them. We cannot give you any tenders now. You have to be part of the tender process. And if they win in the tender process, they win. If they don't, then they don't. The next point is I would want us to receive a progress report to you before the end of the year, a further progress report. Okay? Because that by that time, hopefully you've gone through the cabinet processes, through the budget processes and so on. And at least before the end of the year, I think we should get a new a further progress report, probably in November towards the end of Parliament, to give you a bit of time to do all these things, okay? So there'll be a further and then the issue I wanted for you to look at, which I don't want you to respond on now, but I want you to go and look at this. If we agree that the plans you have on the table now are the ones that go through, and even if we pass directives, the implication of the plans we have now is that the mines are not going to spend a cent more on acid mine drainage. So what I want you to look at is to look at the possibility. What possibilities exist that we can actually leverage the mines to actually contribute to the cost of whatever plans we have? I think Treasury will be very happy to hear this coming out of my mouth. And not their mouth. But are you understanding what I'm trying to say? I mean, it's one thing buying grey water and so on, but yeah, we're now putting our whole infrastructure in to create grey water. To what extent can we leverage some of that money, at least from the mine, so they're not completely off the hook? In any case, as I say, I want you to look at the principle that are we actually going to let the mines completely off the hook? I mean, all the projects we've got now, they're not going to have to pay one single cent anymore. So what ways can we leverage? I hope that summarizing all the points that I thought arose from today's meeting, it's the amendment of the input, the cabinet, the feasibility study, the contribution of the mines, whether we give new directives, the WUC process, and a further progress report towards the end of the year. Those are the points. Anyone want to add or subtract from the committee on those issues? Everyone happy with them? Mr. Kiert, you understand what all the issues are? You can see I'm smiling when I look at you. Huh? I don't want you to test my memory next time. All right, so that is then all the inputs. And Treasury, I also expect Treasury to start getting involved. Don't leave these things just to the department. Please, Mr. Machi, you've got an opportunity here to make history, to solve for us South Africans the problems of acid mine drainage. Grab the opportunity with both hands, Mr. Machi, from Treasury side. Okay. Now, I forgot to make one announcement earlier. You remember the committee instructed me that we must get the whole committee to attend COP17. We made an application like that to the chair of chairs, and the response has been, that's why I'm telling you the response, it's actually been approved, but before the approval it gives a whole thing to say, but a whole lot of people in Parliament are going to attend and so on and so on. The reason we want approval now is to make bookings. So what we're trying to get clarity now from the chair of chairs is, are they then saying that we will be part of the delegation and therefore we don't have to worry to sort out accommodation and so on, or do we still have to go and look because there's just no accommodation in Durban? I mean, there's two slots here, two there and so on. So we're going back again to the chair of chairs just to get clarity. There seems to be approval that we should be there as a committee, but I'm trying to work out whether we should make the arrangement or whether we're part of the bigger delegation where there's already. So we'll just try and get clarity on that. But just be aware, please, every one of us will, hopefully with this approval, we'll all be at COP. So please, if you're not going to be there, let us know beforehand so we don't have to make bookings if you're going somewhere else. So that's just the one announcement I forgot. Dr. Kalia?
Well, it might be helpful to find out who needs accommodation. I would not need accommodation because I live in Durban.
Yeah. So those kind of things, you know, you don't need it and who won't, for example, some people may have already made holiday arrangements, they won't be there. So at least when we get finally to know, we can at least say we know for sure there's going to be seven people. Whether they, we, and then the only question is whether we must organize the accommodation, okay? All right. Is that all the announcements we've made? I think we've made all of them, eh? We'll send those documents to you that we said earlier and all the announcements. And then, as I say, with this delegation, we definitely would want to see you and make sure we get a progress report by towards the end of November when Parliament closes. Okay. Dr. Kalyan?
One other thing, the report on the committee report on the MDG seminar. There's going to be a debate on it, and I'd appreciate if the report could be made available.
I know, you know, what we did is that I complained to the meeting. I went to a meeting and then said, but there's an MDG conference, and no one has ever asked an input from our committee. And then at the last minute, they then wanted an input. So I asked Ms. Dawood to prepare something for us, and I understand it's been made an annexure to the... To the report. So maybe what we can do is get the annexure and whatever part of the report, make copies of that, let Chileka circulate it, and then we would obviously ask if there's any inputs from members of the committee. As I said, it was done at short notice. We've not processed it because their report actually said the committee had never dealt with it. Yeah, that was their report. The committee report was this committee has never dealt with MDGs. So that's why I complained and went to say, but for God's sake, we've had public hearings and everything. And so then I asked Ms. Dawood to quickly draw something from the public hearings and from the work the committee has previously done. So she did a little report for us and put that in there. So at least we try to. But of course, as I say, have a look at that. It was never processed by the committee. So if we still want to fix up things and try and do it just for the next time, we can still do that. Okay. So thanks for that as well. But we will circulate what is now part of that report of that workshop. I understand the workshop is finished and it went relatively well, although the bit I listened to it, I felt that clearly it was like chalk and cheese. I mean, the provinces clearly didn't understand at all what are these processes. They've never gone through these processes. I thought National Parliament's a little bit further advanced in the sense that at least some of the committees have done some work around it. But there's clearly not a general vision of what this is all about and how we have to do it. So it may be that we'll, particularly in the coming year, have to do much more around MDGs as a committee. Okay. I still have not received, we actually, now that you raised it, we wanted a redrafted report from Water Affairs. Fred van Sel did an excellent report last time. But what he left out of the report is some of the weaknesses they have identified why suddenly the MDGs are not being met. If you look at the report, the MDGs were being met all along, and And suddenly in the last few years it's flattened off. And the reasons he gave made very much sense, is that some of the functions of water have been handed to other departments and so on, and suddenly the thing is fragmented. But now the point is that must be in the report and must be spelled out, so that we, you know, we have those things. That what are the? I think he didn't put it there because he was not. He's probably a bit nervous putting it there to spell out what the problems are. But we've now asked him as a committee, put that in the report itself. Correct the report, amend it, and put it in there so we have for our records the benefit of the answers that were given in that committee to us. Just like we today had the benefit of long-term solutions, which weren't, it wasn't in the report, we then asked, fix the report up and put it in there so that we have it. Okay, so Mr. Kiert, if you can tell Fred that other documents he sent, I don't want that. That's extra information. He must fix up his report he gave to us, which was, as I said, an excellent report, okay? This is just going to strengthen it and make it better. All right, any other issues? All right, so now we won't sit tomorrow afternoon, obviously. You'll be free now. I mean, it's just good when the committee works quickly. You have more time off. So tomorrow afternoon is off. Friday is off. Your next meeting will then be Tuesday, and we'll deal with the National Planning Commission to come and explain environment and water as they see it as forming part of that diagnostic review and how in future we have solutions. Make sure that the two departments attend at a high level, because this diagnostic review is the kind of thing that's going to spell out in the future where we're going to go with water and environment. So the departments be here to be able to respond to issues, to raise issues if they have to be raised. So Tuesday, water and environment, okay? Must be present and be ready for to engage on the diagnostic review as it affects either water or environment. And then, as I said, for members that weren't here, the week after that, you'll just sit for a short while on the Tuesday to pass minutes and reports and so on, so that all the minutes of the last while gets processed. Chileka will have it ready by then. It'll mainly be minutes. I don't think there'll be any reports, really. Are you guys still working on the oversight report? Okay, so they made the oversight report, because that's not going to be a contentious. It's going to be, we went here, we went there, so it should be a simple report, okay? Let's try and get that done. And then, as I said, please be aware that we're processing the waste conference, the AMD trip. Oh, and the other thing we haven't said, we are checking up about, remember I told you that we were told our committee must go on study tour in January, if we go anywhere. We are looking if that's still possible and the costs and so on implications. So please be aware we're trying to process that. When Chileka's got information, I'll let the committee have it, okay, to see. In the meantime, what I will ask parties to do is to look at what kind of things you think we should do study, you know, study tour on. I myself am trying to think of maybe us looking towards China, India, what solutions have been found in that part of the world. But I'm open to any suggestions, so there's no, we haven't really looked at it at all, okay? Mr. Morgan?
Thanks, Chair. Just also something for the committee. I see that the white paper on climate change has been released now. It was released yesterday. So we're going to have to discuss a way to get that through our committee as well.
Well, let me engage the minister also just to see what she's now saying, you know, certain things that I've heard her say. Let me just find out whether we should be processing it now, because I know a lot of the things that we raised are now being dealt with in that paper. So if it has been released, then the first thing we need to do is someone to come and present it to us, at least so we can look at it and then say, do we want to take further steps? So that's the first thing we want to do. So thanks, Mr. Morgan. I wasn't aware that it had been released. Okay, anything else? Mr. Matebe? ANC members, please remain. Okay. Now, can I just thank the department? I thought you've done excellent work. Whatever criticisms have come from us, you take it in the spirit of us trying to help the process. I also want to make it quite clear for the media when they report, this committee does not instruct departments. We make recommendations. So anything we've said today, I'm watering down what I've said. It's a recommendation we made, not an instruction. I got some very irate ministers and so on saying, I hear you instructing us. So There's no instructions, of course. We give recommendations and the things that we think should be done and shouldn't be done. If you tell us to take a flying jump, well, then you tell us that you'll face the consequences next time, but you can say it to us. Okay. Thank you very much for the hard work and for everyone attending. Mintek, thanks for coming. And Sputnik, I won't let you give an input. I will watch the media and see how you're communicating. And then I'll know whether it was a good plan or not a good plan. Okay? Thank you very much. Okay, end of meeting. Thanks.